Like any other podcast, Mark.
Oh, good. You know what we didn't do? We didn't think of a topic to discuss ahead of time.
Well, your cat has ringworm.
My cat? It's not my cat. Okay, technically it's Whose cat
is it? Technically, it's living here.
It's Ashley's cat until tomorrow.
It's actually looking me in the face right now.
Yeah, and it's going like, oh man, I'm going to get my ringworm all over that
face. I can't wait to rub it all over your face.
Ringworm isn't that bad. It's just a pain in the ass to get rid of. It makes the cat's fur fall out over time, so it can be kind of ugly looking, but it's not like going to kill.
So is that why it looks 50% ugly right now?
Yeah, it's a little two-facey right now.
He rolled a one for charisma.
It's a she.
She rolled a one for charisma?
Yeah.
With three dice?
Like she threw the dice out the window. It's like a zero for charisma.
That's pretty awful.
I mean, if you ignore the bad area, it's a cute little cat.
You want it?
Lots of energy.
Do you want to stop beating around the bush and tell people what we've done?
What we have done, we have joined a. It's just a podcast network. They don't do anything else, right?
I thought you were going to talk about how we hid the body in the basement.
But, no.
Oh.
Well, I don't know why you'd bring
that
up.
Right, podcast network.
I've told you. It's like it could have been a perfect crime, but you've ruined it.
Yes,
now.
We have joined a podcast network called...
Dragon Wagon Radio.
Dragon Wagon Radio. How does this affect you?
Maybe. Maybe you found the podcast through Dragon Wagon Radio.
Maybe.
Or one of our many stellar advertisements on a different podcast.
Presumably, if you weren't one of the two people who's listened to the 40-something episodes that we've done, then, yeah, you probably found us through Dragon Wagon.
Yeah.
Which means that this is your first podcast with us.
Yeah. So we should kind of give everybody a brief primer on what the show is.
A primer?
Primer. Isn't that?
Wasn't it just called a primer?
Well, I think priming is, primer is a different thing. I don't know.
Hmm.
I've heard this. I've heard people say the word primer.
Well,
even though there's
you
only
say
one
primer,
M.
I'll say primer.
Okay.
Agree to disagree.
You say tomato. I say stupid.
You think we have any completionists out there? I know we've got one. Mackie. He's starting at episode one and listening all the way up through. So I'll be shocked when it gets past episode like two.
I myself am a completionist.
Yeah.
Luckily, I've been here the whole time that we've been making the show. I have missed a few.
You've missed one.
Is that when?
I think that Byron? Was the one I did with Byron.
Yeah.
For It Follows.
Right. Right. But I when I got into the Nerdist podcast, I was like, I'm going back to the beginning. I'm going to listen to all the ones at least that I'm interested in. But they're in the 900s
I was
going to
say, how did that go?
Aren't they? No, wait, they're in the 400s.
I think 900s. I started that when they were in like the 600s. And I think tried it and I just couldn't. There's so many. And
yeah,
so, they're like our podcast. Not everyone's great.
Not
everyone's going to win a Pulitzer.
Yeah, I filled up my phone's memory with old Nerdist episodes. And I was like, fuck this. I don't even have time for this. But yeah, I was right. They're in the 900s now, I think.
So we've joined the network, which means that our...
A lot of other great shows like Myth Understood and Devin and the Ghost Hunting Business.
Yes, Ghost Hunting. And then there's...
the basics of Ghost
Krista
Hunting.
Krista Allen's I'm Fine.
I'm Fine with Krista Allen.
We've got Jake's.
And you're fine with Krista Allen. And everybody's fine with Krista Allen.
Jake Lloyd's podcast.
Elaborate.
Which I have been a guest on, but I don't think it's released yet. Maybe this week. We'll talk about how awesome it is next week, maybe.
And too many records. I've already talked to Matt Kessler and been like, I want to come on your show and talk about Nine Inch Nails for 7 hours.
Yes.
And he was like, I think we can do that.
I could do that too.
Yeah, you should join me.
Woo.
I mean, it's not scheduled yet.
Yeah.
But we are the newest family member in... A great little group of podcasts.
Which basically just means, well, not much of anything. Outside of the fact that you have to listen to an ad here and there.
Yeah. We do have a sponsor.
Yeah. And we, Mark and I just recorded a little intro that hopefully in the future we'll condense a little bit more so you don't have to listen to it every week.
Yeah. So you don't have to deal with 3 minutes of shit at the head of every podcast.
Us trying to act and reading from a script horribly.
Speak for yourself, man. I was doing a great job.
That's true. You were terrible. What I meant to say was that you're wonderful.
But it got confused in your head. No, it happens to me all the time.
So it's going to change we'll start with an ad. But this is how it's going to sound like from now on. So Mark, What are you doing tonight? He's looking at me.
I was
looking
at me. Wait, is that my cue? What am I doing tonight? I'm going to open my Gamebox Monthly delivery.
That's right. Who sent you a Gamebox Monthly delivery?
Brian Finifter.
Oh my God, hasn't he been a guest on this podcast?
Yeah, he has. I forgot. He was with me on...
How'd you forget?
I don't know. It was only like a
the
month
money,
ago.
The Money Movie. Big
yeah,
Short.
Yeah, the Big Short.
The Money Movie.
And
it's
he's
not really
a
money movie, is it?
Well, it's like a banking industry movie.
Housing.
Right. That's the focus on it.
Sure.
But it's all about investors and shit. Why are we talking about that? That's
we're talking about Brian podcast. Because Brian started Gamebox Monthly. So, and, hey, at least we get to support things that we, you know, that are within, that's within our friend circle.
Right. That's a good thing. We used to live with him.
Yeah, we did. And then he went off and started a game company. It's basically what? Netflix for board games?
Yeah, except you don't have to return the board games.
Right, you got to keep it.
Yeah, and you don't get to stream them off the internet. It's like Flixster, that weird offshoot of Netflix. Remember that? They were going to change the name of the disc service to Flixster.
Is that like the Friendster of video streaming?
Yeah, companies? People hated that fucking name. And they went, okay, and we see that you really like the Netflix name, so we're going to keep that. But yeah, you pay a monthly fee. I don't know how much it is, because I did not look that up ahead of time. And you get a selection of different board games and card games and a variety of things once a month.
Well, from what I saw, it was a variety where you it was like once every 3 months, I think.
Oh,
where it's like you pay for a one-off. If you only want one delivery, you pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a yearly or whatever, I think it's... we're talking out of our ass here. I looked it up for the first time the other day because homie ain't got no time to play board games right. Right now.
We used to have an occasional game night, but that kind of...
Yeah, Mark didn't like it. He said it was boring.
I did?
Yeah. I asked him. We were playing Pathfinder, tabletop role-playing.
I don't remember telling you it was boring.
I said, I want to run another game. You're like, it was so boring. That's why we haven't run it. It's your fault.
Oh, great.
Matt wants to play.
You should play with Matt then.
Anyway.
So, but one thing I know about Gamebox Monthly is you can tell them which games you already have and preferences for what kind of games you want in the future so you don't get something duplicated in your collection. You're always going to get something new.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, some people would be like, what? I already own all these things.
So anyway, that'll be the beginning of our podcast from now on.
Yeah.
Ish. Then you'll probably hear something like this. So, Mark, tell me, what is the hell with this about?
Well, it's all about that movie you've always wanted to force your friends to watch, only you and I are doing it on a much larger scale.
So, basically, it's a podcast about reaching that point when you just say, you know what, the hell with this, we're going to watch that damn movie finally, and you're just going to have to sit and talk to me about it?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
So, we're going to talk about other stuff?
Sure. We'll save the spoiler-free talk for the beginning of each episode, because we're not fascists, we're not communists. Mm. Some people may not want to sit with us for an entire movie. What are we going to do? Force them to watch something?
Well, no, but I still get to force you to watch something with me, right?
Fine.
Has anyone ever told you sound like you're reading from a script?
All the time, pal.
This is where we start our fucking episode.
Right, after the intro and advertisements.
Yes, now that we've talked about it for 8 minutes, we can get on with it.
This is a very meta podcast episode. We're talking a lot about
podcasting. We are walking you through the changes you're about to hear. So if you miss this episode, you are totally fucked.
Yeah, nothing at all will make sense.
We will send Mark's cat to your house and rub it all over your face so you have ringworm.
And they'll be like, ringworm? What's that?
The cat is currently chewing on the back of Mark's head. And
well, it's only the back of my head. I don't care about that.
God, I see ringworm growing on your face.
If I get ringworm on my face, I don't have to shave anymore. That's great.
How's your week been?
It's been busy. Things have just been ramping up at work, you know?
Yeah.
We're right in the middle of the season, so a lot of episodes are in progress right now.
You and I are in the same boat. How many episodes have they released so far?
The sixth episode just came out of 13.
Okay. So you are on the same schedule that we're on, because we had our sixth episode last week. Yeah, last Wednesday we had our sixth episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then episode 7 is next Wednesday, and then we're only going for 10 weeks.
Oh, you only get 10 episodes.
Then we're done.
We get 13. Lucky number 13.
I'm off as of like mid-December, thank God, because I've been working nonstop.
I'll get the last 2 weeks off in December for like the holiday break, but then I'll be back on after New Year's for one or two more weeks.
That's good. Yeah, I'll probably have off until February or so. So might have another job coming up.
We can make more podcasts in that time.
Yeah.
We'll do 3 a day.
Woo! Oh, man. Can you imagine? We're going to have...
We would run out of so much shit. Like, we wouldn't know what to talk about anymore.
Well, I might have a new job coming up, so we'll see what my schedule's like. But that would start in February, so we'll have to record quite a bit before then.
Well, lucky for me, I don't have any jobs lined up at all. Which means I'm going to be homeless and destitute within a couple years, because LA is expensive as hell.
Yeah, that's very true. I think you pay less, though, on your mortgage here than I pay on rent per month, probably.
Yes. But then there's property taxes. There's utilities. I'm not sure what your rent covers. There's a lot more.
Nothing.
We just got our property tax bill for this year, and it's basically like 2.5 months of mortgage.
Wow.
If you add it all together, it'll be equal, maybe.
I'm not going to ask you what you pay on the air, so to speak, but...
I'll tell you later.
Yeah, tell me later. I think your cat really likes that copy of Kill Bill because he's about to chew it off the wall.
It is a she, and I have told you that many times.
I just assume all cats are males.
They're not all tomcats.
I don't understand people who don't like cats, first of all.
I know, right?
But you're a cat person.
Not really.
No?
No. I mean...
You're a dog person? You're a turtle person.
Yeah,
I know that for a fact.
I'm not an anything person. Here's the problem with having pets. One day, they will die, and you will be sad. Except for the tortoise. That thing's going to live longer than I do.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
How old is the tortoise again?
30.
30?
And I'm 35, and they can live up to like 110.
Well, I mean...
But between 70 and 110
hopefully
somewhere.
Hopefully, you live the same amount of time.
That'd be cool if me and Bobo the tortoise died simultaneously we have the same deathbed. We're holding little hands.
Aw.
And we just...
You think Bobo the tortoise will know who you are?
Nope.
By then?
No.
Like, you're not gonna even be a neuron?
His little,
brain of that thing?
Shooter marble-sized reptile brain can...
Oh, I thought you were gonna say something else.
I don't think he can recognize people. I think they kind of map out the area they live in, so they know where to go and remember where they sleep and shit like that. But as far as knowing people, they just see a bright color when they want to eat fruit and they go, good. But they don't look at your face.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe he does.
Maybe he does. I am not a reptile scientist.
Maybe he'd recognize Dolph Lundgren.
Why?
Because he's so unique looking.
Because he's a big rectangular person.
Mostly because I see his name written out on the screen.
That's really funny because that's not even the right movie.
I was going to say, isn't that something different?
Yeah.
So your DVD player has predicted the wrong movie?
Well, it looks like the synopsis is correct, but the cast is wrong. Dolph Lundgren is not in this movie.
Huh.
Everything else is correct.
I saw that and I was like suddenly excited, but now...
Oh no, I've seen that movie. It's fucking awful.
Was he in another version of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe you didn't know that. I guess we should,
I feel like I did. Maybe that's why I was like, I didn't question it.
Let's give the audience about 5 seconds to guess which Dolph Lundgren movie we're talking about that was perhaps remade years later without him in it. 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Time's up. What are we watching, Chad?
Karate Kid.
What? I didn't bring that one.
It's your turn to pitch a movie to me.
Well, I don't have to pitch anything. You're stuck with this movie.
I know. That's what I mean. I'm stuck with this movie.
I'm not pitching you a movie. I'm pitching one at you.
I am being clockwork oranged. My eyes are split open.
I'm just going to shove toothpicks under your eyelids.
Toothpicks through my eyelid.
That would really suck, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That tissue is very thin.
What am I being forced to watch today?
You're going
to
be watching the 2000 something version of The Punisher with Thomas Jane instead of Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, shit.
This was like the first time I think I saw Thomas Jane in a movie.
Even before
What else was he in? Like, he was in The Mist, but that was after this.
Yeah, he was in The Mist. I know he was on HBO's Hung.
Yeah, I never saw
which
that.
I never saw.
But he was kind of an up-and-comer. He had some smaller roles here and there. But I believe this was one of his first, like, big blockbuster-level movies. And one of his last, maybe.
Well, it's funny because he looks like somebody who should be a star. I know it's funny because I've seen him every time I go to Comic-Con. I always see him walking around with his kid, like on his shoulder. He just walks around.
Yeah. He's just a guy. Just amazing,
buys
right?
Comics, buys all kinds of toys and shit. Like, he's just in love with the same kind of shit that you and I are.
Here's a funny story about a con experience with Thomas Jane. This is when Ashley, who was on last week's episode, she had a table set up to sell her own stuff.
Uh-huh.
And Thomas...
What con was this?
This is at WonderCon a few years ago, I think. And Thomas Jane came around with his kids, like you're saying, took one look at her stuff and just kind of went, nope. He like shook his head and marched away with the kids. And she was like, hey, what the fuck, Thomas Jane?
What was she selling?
I don't remember now. It was probably something to do with penises.
I was going to say, was it just like gelatinous dicks that were just flopping around?
Yeah, probably. Robotic gelatinous penises. With minds of their own.
I understand.
No, I think she makes a lot of buttons.
Mm.
Like, she's got little like custom buttons that she sells on Etsy all the time. Maybe she can be a new sponsor.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah. And there were other ones besides that. And I think she had a few of her little, like, sewn together toy puppet type things. She makes, like, little monster things.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not into it. Thanks a lot, Thomas Jane.
Yeah. So you're basically just saying he's an asshole.
No, I'm not saying he's an asshole. Because not everything at a con is for everybody.
Well, he must pass up pretty much
99% of those fucking tables at a con. I don't usually buy anything, but I only stop to look at maybe 3 out of the couple hundred things they have set up there.
Are you going to pitch this movie to me?
Yeah, okay, fine.
And everyone else listening?
Yeah. This version of The Punisher ignores the Dolph Lundgren movie. It's like an origin story.
Okay.
And the reason I'm bringing this up now is because the Punisher Netflix show is about to premiere.
I think it did on Friday.
Oh, okay. Great. Yesterday.
Yeah. It premiered yesterday. So this is very timely, Mark.
Yeah. By the time it comes out, it'll be a little bit late.
We did Zodiac before Mindhunter, and now we've got...
We're doing the Punisher before the Punisher. Anyway, I was not expecting much from this movie at all because John Travolta plays the bad guy, and it's got like...
That says everything.
It's got like a wrestling dude as another bad guy, and I had no idea who this Thomas Jane fella was, but the trailers kind of looked interesting, and I remember even... This isn't going to sound good, but I remember being in theater watching it with friends, and Rebecca Romijn Stamos, I think she was at the time... Also played Mystique in the X-Men movies.
Sure.
This was her trying to continue her acting career. Mm. And she was so god-awful, people were laughing in the theater. And that never happens, like, in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
That's what I get to look forward to?
Yeah.
That's a kind of a spoiler. You just spoiled her performance for me.
It's
what if she's great? She's probably listening to this right now and just writing your name in a little black book.
Yeah, the Death Note.
The Death Note. she's going to come after you.
Mark Heilecker will die by... choking on his own penis or something like that.
The floppy penis that Ashley was trying to sell to Thomas Jane.
But anyway, despite kind of the bad things I expected from the movie, it turned out to be a pretty good action movie, some clever writing, some good characters, and I hope you will like it too.
I have no idea what to expect from this.
How much about The Punisher do you even know?
Like
from the comics or anything?
If I had to guess, I mean, I basically just assumed he's someone like Spawn who lost everything, you know.
And someone Spawn.
Spawn's obviously dead.
Right.
But this is some guy who loves guns.
Yes.
Kills lots of people.
Yes.
And has vengeance on his mind.
Yes. Not vengeance. Punishment.
Punishment. Okay.
Yeah.
It's another way to say vengeance, but, you know, agree to disagree.
I mean, I think he probably pulled out the thesaurus and was like, no, I don't want to sound too mean. Yeah, punishment. That's a good...
just sat there and was like, what's a good word for...
What's a good word for revenge? A
page. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know much. I mean, from the Netflix trailer, I see somebody... Well, I don't, if I guess and I get it right, I'm technically just going to be spoiling his story. But obviously, if it hasn't, if they're doing it again, well, it's a major
Marvel character. I mean, people know pretty much what the Punisher is.
Well, obviously, so Marvel, who won't, so,
What?
Marvel owns the rights to Punisher. It's yes. not like a X-Men so now, and Fox situation.
Right. So now Disney owns Punisher.
They're great. The Mickey Mouse is now running around shooting people.
Yeah.
Who produced these other movies?
The first one, let me...
Up, we've lost Mark.
I gotta get the disc.
All I had to do was ask him who's produced these movies, and I got rid of him.
This one... What the fuck? I can't even see the logo. It
doesn't even have a logo.
I think Lionsgate released this one.
I see Marvel's logo on it. Yeah, Marvel. There, so this must be like the beginning of their... This must be the beginning of Marvel's...
I mean, Marvel's... This iteration of Marvel in the movies has been around since Blade, 1998.
Hmm.
So...
I'd be curious to see if they have some sort of logo, a fanfare logo at the beginning.
2004, and it's R-rated.
So...
This is one of the only Marvel movies that's R-rated.
When did Iron Man come out?
That was 2008. That was 9 years ago. Can you fucking believe that?
Yeah, I can, actually.
9 years, and they've... turned it into, like, they've got 20 movies out.
I was going to say, that there's like 400 Marvel movies now, and now I don't want to ever see another Marvel movie again.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Or a DC movie.
I'm gonna watch the Marvel movies up through the Infinity Wars thing.
I did watch Thor.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I finally saw that.
Eh, see?
Funny.
But I didn't see Civil War.
What?
Captain America Civil War, which everyone said was great. I did see half of it, and I was like, this is boring. I'm sure it's a great movie, but I think I it had gotten to the point, there's so many like in-joke references and yeah. like character in-jokes and stuff that I had no idea what was going on half the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay.
I think that one, it's so solidly connected to the movies that came right before it, like sure. Avengers 2. Did you see all the other ones?
I saw Ultron. I feel like I have. I think there's probably a few here and there that I haven't, but...
Did you see Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
How'd you like that? Because it's the same people.
I seem to remember liking it.
Okay.
And I did recognize The Winter Soldier, at least, you know, but I didn't understand why, what exactly was... I didn't remember enough of Winter Soldier to be like, okay, I know what's happening for sure.
Okay.
So it was like...
Well, I guess maybe we'll try Civil War sometime in the future. We're kind of behind the curve on that one already.
Oof. Okay.
But I that's a really...
Why movie, do you like to punish me?
Hey, Punisher. Should we just start the movie now? We've talked a lot about this thing.
I mean, I suppose. I feel like you didn't really sell me on it.
I don't have to sell you on it. Why do you like
this movie?
I just
How many
told you.
Stars out of 10?
Out of 10?
Yeah.
6.5. It's not. It doesn't have to be a great movie, right. But I think it's worth seeing anyway because I don't know. It just it has its own thing going on. It doesn't exist in the Marvel universe. It doesn't fucking depend on the Avengers. This was before all that.
You asked me what I expected out of this one. I'm expecting something similar, but not as concise and as awesome as Dread. The new version of Dread, not the Stallone.
Yeah. Version. No, I know what you're saying. Dread 3D.
Is that what they called it? Dread 3D?
I think officially it was Dread 3D, but, you know, people just...
That's a movie I want to see a sequel to.
Yeah.
Done by the same people.
I think they're working on a TV show.
That's not a sequel.
I with think the they're working people? On it. Yeah. With the same writer and Carl Urban. I think they're trying
and
to get that
girl
going.
And, I mean, I guess they killed off all the... Spoilers!
They killed everybody in that movie.
They killed no one.
Because that's not what Dread is about.
That's not what Dread is about. He's about puppies and milkshakes. All right. Let's see this Marvel masterpiece.
I never called it a masterpiece, sir.
I'm pretty sure you called it a masterpiece.
I just think it's worth watching.
Pretty sure you said it was an 11 out of 10.
I can't believe I'm home. And I could ever be so lucky.
We're not lucky. We are blessed.
All right, everybody, quiet down. This is the first family reunion we've had in 5 years. To the future!
The future. The future was something my family would never see. They murdered me. They were wrong. They were dead wrong.
That man must die.
Quit!
Don't let your memories kill you.
They can't kill me. I'm already dead.
Thomas Jane, John Travolta.
Make Castle dead. Whatever it takes. Whatever it costs.
This is not revenge. It's punishment.
The Punisher.
So we're looking through the IMDb page right now. I would say 5 out of 5 or 5.5.
Wow, 5 out of 5.
5.5.
You weren't kidding when you said it was a masterpiece.
Maybe 6. Weighted a little higher just because it was like it was done with good intentions. That's clear. Like I feel like there was an intent to kind of keep it like. You know, this story about this guy who literally loses his entire family.
Yeah. The thing you should know.
Generations and like.
The thing you should know about the Punisher backstory from the comics and anything else he's been in is that, like, the mafia kills his wife and his children when they're out having a picnic. I think that's how it originally happens in the comics, and he, you know, becomes obsessed with vengeance. That's punishing criminals. In this movie. His family is having a reunion in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, after
and,
he's.
And the gangster's wife, whose son was killed related to the Punisher, she's like, kill them all. His whole family.
Hey, what a coincidence. They're all there in one place.
Yeah. So literally, he is the only person in his family tree left alive.
And music is terrible.
Yeah. I would say it's pretty.
It's not great. There were moments. Part. There were a couple like songs in there that like compositions that actually had like some substance to it. But for the most part, it felt generic.
Yeah,
score.
It felt like temp score that they stuck with.
And I think that was the biggest detractor for me.
I think the parts that had some personality that you pointed out, those were like the montage sequences.
Yeah, I mean there were some pretty solid moments in the movie. There weren't as many cheesy lines as I think you led it to believe. Like, and I didn't think Rebecca Romijn Stamos at the time was bad. Actually, I think the scenarios that the script put her in, and that were completely unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can get into that later. Just like the whole structure of this little band of misfits. It plays like Mad Max, but it's set in the present when
it's there's car chases and gunfights, and where are the fucking police in this city?
Clearly
they're in Tampa, Florida, right?
That's
where the whole movie takes place, Tampa. And I guess the cops just suck in Tampa.
It seems that way. Florida, man. Florida.
Oh, man. Do you think Frank Castle is Florida Man?
He is.
Florida Man goes on a fucking shooting rampage and destroys a whole building. And 80 cars in the parking lot.
I thought, I mean, you said it halfway through. You were like, this is hardly it's supposed to be R, but it felt PG-13.
Yeah, it is rated R, and I think maybe there was like a scene of torture.
Yeah.
One scene of fake torture, that was more of a comedy thing.
Some boobs.
There were some boobs and one instance of fuck. So I don't even know why this is an R. We see a lot of gunshots. That's all.
Yeah, by comparatively, I mean, it should be R, in my opinion. I'm just saying, yeah, comparatively to R rating today. Like
as social mores evolve over time, it looks like PG-13.
I mean, if this is an R, the new Netflix version of Punisher looks like NC-17. just because it looks so brutal.
Well, I want to mention really quickly, they made a follow-up. It's not a direct sequel to this. They made Punisher Warzone. They didn't get Thomas Jane back. I don't know if that was a scheduling thing or if he hated the script. It is a infamously bad movie. It's terrible. Like,
I don't remember that when it came out. I don't remember people saying that. Who was the Punisher?
I can't remember his name now. I don't know. It's not important. Different movie.
Yeah, different movie. We'll do that.
But that one, the trailer for that one, the sequel, looked fucking awesome because it looked like an NC-17 level of violence.
Right.
And that's what the character is supposed to be about. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about putting people down easily. He's as violent as they come. Like, he's had a lot of criticism over the years, even in the comics, for glorifying violence. And
sure.
Like, he's got, in the comic storylines, which I haven't really read, but I've just read about, they've given him, like, PTSD, he was in Vietnam, et cetera, et cetera. So he's, like, a fucking crazy person.
I mean,
yeah. In Punisher Warzone, the movie, you get that feeling that he's, like, he's out of his mind little bit. He's still, like, a good guy, but he's a little bit crazy. In this movie, he's mostly justified, and he's not a fucking psychopath.
He's justified, but it is like otherworldly in the sense, like, there's nothing really realistic about this movie.
No,
like the Except scenario
after
like,
the big Russian guy beats him up, he falls unconscious,
and that was one of the better sequences.
Like, well, that's a high point of the movie, I think. The big wrestler dude comes in and uses the whole apartment to beat him up.
Let's backtrack a little bit. Okay. So, movie starts off. Frank Castle is undercover as someone else.
Mm-hmm. Like an arms dealer type guy. Yeah,
has a setup that goes south, and basically the son of John Travolta, the big drug lord. Is he a drug lord?
He's not a drug lord. He's a money launderer for the drug lords.
He's killed in this raid. Yeah. And then, so Frank Castle's done with his assignment, is about to move to London.
Yeah, he's going to retire from, like, Special Forces and the Department of Justice, all that shit.
Move with his wife and kid. But he's going to go to Puerto Rico and have this wonderful family reunion. In the meantime, everyone finds out that Frank Castle was actually an undercover agent who got the guy's son killed.
They just throw that away, too. Like, the henchmen are just like, oh, yeah, our guy in DOJ found out who it is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Okay. We don't talk about that at all. So, anyway, yeah, this whole family gets killed. And then that's kind of where it turned, like, gray for me, because it's like at that point Frank Castle comes back to Tampa and ends up in some slummy shithole two-story townhouse thing building
where he had a fucking muscle car stored for some reason.
Yeah,
where he had an apartment filled with
it doesn't show him moving into this place. This place, he just shows up, has all these tools, starts working his car, like making it like Mad Max's car, like bulletproof.
Yeah, he's got like steel shielding and shit in the window.
And like, of course, he lives next door to Rebecca Romaine Stamos, who always looks gorgeous.
And yeah, that you can tell that they tried to like dress her down a little. She's just like a waitress in some diner in the area.
Sure.
And they didn't like make her up like a supermodel. Right, they didn't make her up. She's just
naturally attractive.
Like, yeah, they would have had to do some serious like Charlize Theron and monster stuff too.
But they didn't make it like they gave her a backstory that she was an alcoholic and she knew about needles, but she doesn't look like someone. She doesn't look like someone who's gone through that sort of pain.
Or if she has, she did it 20 years ago. She came out when she was 12.
and she lives next door to Ben Foster and this other kid. The other looks guy. Like the younger version of the
Otho from Beetlejuice. Otho
from Beetlejuice. but that whole, they look like they live in a shithole that belongs in the movie Seven.
Yeah, I can't even tell if they're actually squatting in the building because it's completely run down. I don't even know how they have running water and power.
Yeah, there's, I mean, no one lives downstairs.
And the walls are made out of nothing, apparently.
What's downstairs in this building? We just see the staircase.
We only see upstairs, yeah.
Yeah, and we have no idea where it is.
Maybe it's a brothel downstairs.
Could be. I feel like they would have heard everything going on upstairs. But it just, you know, realistically, those three, maybe the, you know, I could see the Ben Foster character and Otho living upstairs. But I can't see her existing there. You know, she does have people like show up to like her exes, ex-boyfriends or whatever. She says, I pick the worst people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I believe it. It's such a weird, that was the thing to me that felt the most like post-apocalyptic. Like you have this band, a band of misfits. And I said, when we were watching it, I was like, this feels like, the UK TV series called The Utopia, which was like all these comic book nerds who like are going to find like a comic book that was released or something.
Mm-hmm. You know? It's like,
but they run into all these killers and there's like horrific crimes that are happening around them.
And you were saying this might be one of your favorite Ben Foster characters.
Yeah.
Characters or performances?
I think this is one of my favorite performances of his because I feel like he's usually playing a caricature.
Mm-hmm. Like he's a little too over the top with
everything. A little theatrical, and which is fine. I think that this role, actually, I thought he, you know, it's no wonder the guy went on and has an amazing career because, like you said, it's like the thing you appreciate about him is that he just fucking lets it. Even if it's a small role,
he'll bring it.
The
torture scene in this movie is one of the bad guys pulling out his eyebrow piercings and the rest of them that he has on his face. And it doesn't look like an actor going like, oh no, that really hurts. He's like screaming and fighting and spitting. He's like a wild animal in that moment. And you're like, that's what you need to sell that stuff.
Yeah.
That's real.
And that was brutal.
Real deal.
What, having seen it again, how many times have you seen this?
Total maybe five. This might be the sixth or fifth. Five or six times.
It felt like a long movie.
It might be like maybe an hour,
a solid 2 hours. It didn't feel like a 90-minute movie by any means. I mean, his family gets killed like 25 minutes into it.
Yeah, so like, he's not even the Punisher yet.
The setup takes like half an hour or 45 minutes. Just to get him in the apartment complex, and then he's there for a good amount of time.
You know, there's on this watch through, on this run through of the movie, I noticed something about the plot.
What?
It climaxes when he kills the Russian guy. Like, that's really the last time he's challenged by anything.
Right.
The rest of the movie is just him showing up at the gangster's house and killing everybody.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't really have... I mean, of course, he gets shot a few times.
Right.
You call that
I mean, okay, fine. He's wearing body armor, though. He anticipated that. Like, his life doesn't feel in danger after that time.
Yeah, he's not walking through broken glass with
no
shoes on. getting hunted. He's the hunter. And he definitely, yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that.
So that might be contributing to how long the movie feels, because everything kind of gets to that high point and he wins by pouring boiling water.
He just like kind of lets everybody else do the dirty work. Like, he's been setting up. It's kind of funny because his whole plan is very clunky. Like, everything about it's like nothing is smooth and doesn't feel like an action film. I feel like you could easily just hang a shot on him at any moment, like after he's finished something epic.
Yeah.
And then like crickets, you know, he finishes attaching a bomb to the bottom of a car. And then
he looks at the camera, smiles,
cut to an overhead shot of him rolling out from under it, slowly getting up while his knees are cracking, and like walks over to another one, like leans over,
that's what
rolls underneath another car.
Yeah, yeah. There's a part near the end where he says one of these little like tripwire bombs yeah. that he's got weighs 8 pounds.
Yeah.
Like he set somebody up, you got to hold this bomb up, and if you drop it, it'll go off. And
well, he's also throwing this 8 pound thing around like it's like yeah. half a pound.
Because it's prop made out of plastic.
Right.
But after that point, we see just how many bombs that he has placed, like on every doorway of this building, every car in the parking
it's
lot.
It's like at least 50.
Yeah, it's got to be at least 400 pounds of high explosives. And he didn't come with like a duffel bag.
No.
He kind of like just has a bunch of guns and holsters on his belt. Where'd these 400 pounds of bombs come from? It's little things like that that make it go, wait a second.
Now, Thomas Jane, I thought he did pretty solid. I feel like you could see his limitations at least. I almost feel like he just was, because it's presented as if he has PTSD or something. He's in shell shock.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Like he doesn't even want to talk.
His family's
to people. He's
killed, but he doesn't really. It doesn't appear like he's suffering, really.
Not emotionally.
And that could be like, just straight up bad direction, like not
well,
telling your actor where he's at in a story.
You
feel like they would understand, but
I think that John Bernthal Punisher on the show is a little better about like emoting, and it's mostly anger, of course, but it's like you understand more where he's coming from.
Sure.
In this, we just kind of see his family get murdered, and we have to go with whatever the performance is or isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like he just immediately shuts down. He becomes a robot obsessed only with killing Howard Saint and all his people.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of like shows him drinking a lot, but he never like breaks down in tears and shit.
Yeah, he's falling into the trope of like, oh, I'm sad, I'm gonna go drink myself to death.
Yeah,
and but so it seems like a lot of things kind of play into that. Well, like I was saying at the beginning, like good intentions, poorly executed. Well, mediocrely. executed, is that even a word?
Mediocre-ish, I think, mediocre-ish. Is the one you're looking for. Yeah, it's it is a passable movie. It doesn't have a lot special going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is 5 years after The Matrix came out.
Right, and action it feels
movies,
like...
Action movies needed to be something else at this point. And
this felt like 1994,
yeah, you
not
said it,
2004.
You said it looked like it was filmed in the 90s, and I think...
This would have been a great movie in
the
90s.
Right, exactly. I think it was made not specifically with that in mind, but they didn't use a ton of CG. It's a pretty basic story. Like the plot, like I said, it ends halfway through. It's like they ran out of shit to do with the movie. Yeah. I think if people go back and watch this and they give it kind of a handicap, if they took 10 years off the release date, maybe it would be a fucking awesome movie. Because it's got some of these cool little moments, the way he dispatches people. But like he's supposed to be this badass special forces dude, unstoppable. And now we've gotten two John Wick movies with the whole movies are essentially gunplay, and it's the best shit I've ever seen in a movie. And comparing...
And it sounds like The Punisher.
Sort of. It's
about his dog
about
or whatever,
his dog.
Right?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
But the stuff that we've seen since The Punisher came out completely blows it away.
Yeah.
Like I'm watching him reload his 45 pistol in the middle of a gun scene, and I'm kind of like, come on, John Wick would have done this in half a second. You're like fumbling around with the magazine. And...
Well, that's why I meant, like, why I felt like it was clunky,
his
whole thing. Like, he could have been killed at so many points in this movie.
But you never felt that
like...
tension, really.
No.
You weren't worried about him being killed.
No, but that's just because that's the nature of
doing
a franchise movie like this. You don't expect him to eat shit. You know, he's not going to die in the first 5 minutes.
I think your idea when he shoots out a switchblade knife and it like flies out and kills a guy by stabbing his neck, it'd be great if it just kind of went about 2 feet and fell on the ground.
Yeah.
Boink. Oh, shit. The spring wasn't
very
strong.
And then he gets shot in the face, and that's how,
that's how it would have ended in real life.
Actually dies, yeah.
Yeah.
It, is there any, There were some interesting similarities in the way things happened. Let's say Frank Castle's best friend, so to speak, is his, let's say it's his father.
Okay.
Played by Roy Scheider.
Yes.
Of all people. His father, is he knifed?
Yes. No, wait, I don't know. He does, he stabs somebody. Right. I think he gets shot and then he comes back up and stabs a bad guy that's like strangling.
Yeah, Thomas and then Jane. He's dead. Okay. Well, that throws my whole theory out. Because there was definitely similarities in, let's say, his wife and his son are run over.
Yeah.
On the dock. By the bad guys.
I was in an R-rated movie. I was hoping they would do something pretty brutal to his immediate family.
Well, they look like they just laid down on the.
Yeah.
There's like no blood.
Their head wasn't smashed open by the tires.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they should have really run them over about four times.
And rub it in. John Travolta's wife is run over by a train.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they're the closest loved ones. Of course, John Travolta was the one who kills her because he believes that his best friend has been sleeping with his wife, and that's just something Frank Castle has led them to believe, basically.
And talking about that guy, what the hell was that guy's name? I don't know. Doesn't matter, I guess. The main henchman of Saint. He is a gay man, and he's being kind of blackmailed by Frank Castle through the movie. Still want that to get out for whatever reason. I don't know. I mean, this is the 21st century. I say own it, man. Just gotta own it. But
especially when your boss is John Travolta.
I mean, yeah.
We're not suggesting anything.
Don't worry, Scientology already blocked me. They're not going to hear this at all. But that character is the most interesting one because he's kind of like he is the will of Howard Saint of John Travolta. Mm-hmm. He's one actually going out and doing all these things, like torturing the guy with the piercings. But then when he is confronted by Saint, you've been sleeping with my wife, blah, blah, blah. I can't believe this. You worked for me your whole life. His death scene is actually pretty good. He's sitting there whimpering like, why are you killing me? I don't know what's going on.
You kind of feel bad for the guy. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
All he was doing was being a great guy. He was basically spent his whole life being this guy's henchman, and then he's killed for really no reason that he even understands.
Howard Saint is a homophobe.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that's what this is about.
But that's kind of like you can still see it from John Travolta's side of things. He's got this beautiful wife, and his main,
and set up
his
so
number
well.
One guy is always hanging out with her.
Yeah.
But they're hanging out because he's gay, and they get along fine.
Right, and the suspicion is planted from early on when he says, hey, go dance with my wife, and Travolta sits back and just watches them dance.
Yeah.
And they really aren't even dancing close. They're dancing exactly like you would imagine two people in that scenario.
But she is enjoying herself while dancing with this other guy. Sure. And she doesn't even seem to like hanging out with him.
If you're a head of a crime syndicate or whatever, a money laundering bank.
Syndicate is fair.
You just distrust everyone.
Right. Everybody's out for your money.
Yeah.
That's why I never want to be rich.
Exactly. I do feel like, even though I've kind of poo-pooed the movie by saying it's generic.
You still gave it 5 or 6. I think that's a very...
I mean, but that wouldn't be like something I would be like, you know, oh, you got to go see this. It does, it feels like a natural progression to the Punisher that we get now, I guess. I mean, not that I've seen it, and I'm sure 10 years from now another Punisher will come out and it'll be...
Right.
It'll literally just be videos of people getting ripped in half.
It'll just be close-ups of shotguns exploding faces.
Yes.
It'll be... The Punisher of the future will basically be an ISIS recruiting video.
Oh, Jesus. It was for something that... Oh, and it did have the Marvel... fanfare. We did see the logo at the beginning.
It had the logo, but not the music.
And
I think the music
didn't come around for a while, did it? Was it in Iron Man? 4 years after this?
The first one, I'm not sure.
But this
definitely
was
by Iron Man
2. Was Lionsgate.
Yeah, this was Lionsgate. I don't know. Are they like a subsidiary of one of the bigger ones?
I feel like they just have a contract through Disney.
Oh.
but they not did. You know, not like I mean I've never seen a Disney logo on a Marvel movie.
No. But I think this Marvel logo, like this movie doesn't have the one where it like flies in and shows right. all the comic pages flipping by. But Spider-Man had that, and that was 2001 or 2. So that was 2 years before this, and I think Blade 2 has it, but I'm not positive on that.
Right.
So it had been around for at least a couple of years.
They were definitely trying to get the ball rolling, and you know, I remember a lot of people being excited about this, and a lot of people being excited about the next one, the sequel to this.
I remember I was excited myself for the next one, and then the reviews came out, and it was, I mean, God, I've seen it since. It is a truly awful movie.
It's, I think, this the story of Punisher is so kind of generic.
Yeah.
It's like guy loses his family. I mean, how many times have we seen that? Guy
wants vengeance.
How many times have we seen
guy becomes violent to get vengeance.
That's most Mel Gibson movies. Like, that's... Yeah.
He was actually introduced as a villain to Spider-Man in the comics.
Punisher?
Yeah.
Well, he's in Daredevil, isn't he? The TV show?
Yes. He's sort of a villain there too, but now he's getting his own series. Yeah.
Is he in Daredevil or the other one?
Daredevil.
Because I know he had his intro in that. I never saw Daredevil, so.
No. Good show. You should watch it.
I'm so burnt out on all the comic book movies. you know, I'm not burnt out on Star Wars yet, even though I've heard a lot of people say they are.
Mm-hmm.
We've only had two in 2 years. I think that's decent.
Yeah, I'm ready for more.
More Rian Johnson ones over the years, which I'm excited about.
Man, three more after this one.
Yeah.
That's insane. I mean, good for him. but I hope it goes well.
I feel like after the Netflix version of this, I don't ever think the world needs another Punisher spinoff movie, whatever.
Somebody who wants to make a lot of money is going to disagree with you there.
Do you think they'll actually make a lot of money?
Well, I mean, it's if you go, it's sort of like comics. These things are ongoing forever. Superman's been around since the 40s, right?
Yeah.
There's always more characters. There's always new situations you can put the character into.
Sure, sure.
And a different kind of story you can tell about the Punisher. This one was purely a revenge flick.
Mm-hmm.
Competently made, but perhaps not as exciting or as relevant as it should be. I think there's always room for more.
I think that, to me, I feel like a better version of Predator. Punisher would be to treat the Punisher like the Joker, like in Dark Knight,
mm-hmm.
where we don't know what his backstory is. Necessarily.
I think you might want to watch the Daredevil show on Netflix. Oh,
shit. Then maybe I should.
He's not as funny as the Joker.
But just like the whole, you know, yeah, Joker constantly tells new stories about... Every time you think you know what his past is, he tells a different story about what his past is.
Right.
And that was the most interesting thing about that character is like, well...
Where'd this monster come from?
Clearly he's off his rocker, but he's very calculating. Punisher, obviously, I mean, his whole basis is his family getting murdered, I guess.
The thing that they don't, like in this movie, it's all about getting the people and only those people that killed his family.
Right.
Like that organization. At the end of the movie, he kind of goes, well, I guess I better keep going and get other criminals. But we don't see his reasoning. Like his sort of that psychotic switch to going from just vengeance on the ones who killed his family to I've got to kill every goddamn criminal out there.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's crazy. That's, you know, he's off the deep end in that case. And we don't see that happen. This is a very kind of like, I guess sanitized is the word. It's the same reason that R rating looks like PG-13. He's a little too much of a nice guy.
Right.
He's supposed to be fucking nuts.
Right. Yeah, and maybe that's my biggest issue.
Yeah.
As a whole.
He should be a villain, really, unless you want everybody to be a vigilante.
Yeah. I mean, the guy would scare the shit out of you. He doesn't even scare his three neighbors, really. Yeah.
Well, they were a little standoffish.
They
were at first,
but they brought him over to they tricked him
into having dinner.
Which is something. If I thought my neighbor was killing people or whatever,
yeah,
the last thing I would do would go knock on his door and lie to his face to get him to come over to have dinner.
Well, they had seen him on TV though, like they got his whole backstory from the TV and internet, yeah. So they weren't totally afraid.
Still, then I would not go around the guy then.
He's still the weird guy who lost everything in his life and is willing to kill others.
Treading lightly in those scenarios.
I'd be moving out, probably. I think I've got everything out that I wanted to get out about this movie. I'm glad you at least kind of enjoyed it and didn't think it was a steaming pile.
Yeah, no, I think people, fans of comic book movies, should at least watch this. You know, it's not any worse than most Marvel movies.
No.
Nowadays, no. Even though generic comic book movie number A or B or C is basically every single movie that comes out now.
I mean, if you're comparing apples to oranges here, I mean, Thor got, 92% or something on Rotten Tomatoes? Yeah, whereas Justice League is getting 35%.
That new Thor, it's clear that they understood that Guardians of the Galaxy was the most unique thing they had made.
Yeah, so they kind of went for that style.
And then they're kind of going,
aliens and colors.
Let's go. Yeah, it's a... obviously this tone is totally different. It feels like a Lionsgate movie, but like I said, it feels like Good Intentioned.
Yeah,
some things they do really well.
Lower end of budgets, I would say.
Yeah.
Because it's like a very down to earth. There's no superheroes in this movie.
It's completely unrealistic as far as like scenarios are concerned. The script could have used a lot of work.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
The setup with the people in the house, like whether or not that's based on a comic book, it probably is. It seems like
probably
something a comic book would do.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, even the dude that saves his life, the weird like robot guy at the beginning of the movie, I'm sure that's some callback to
some character,
some comic character. Yeah,
sure.
But I haven't read him, so I don't care. And that guy's in the movie for a total of about 90 seconds.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. I think that's a good wrap up on this first Dragon Wagon Radio presentation of The Hell With This.
The Hell With This. Yay.
Woo! Kat, this is your cue to... Oh, you're asleep.
She's asleep.